We're starting a new series today, but before I do, I want to tell you a quick joke, if that's okay. I heard about this young lady named Sarah. She moved to a big town for a job, and she didn't have many people, friends. She didn't have a church yet, so she decided to go buy a pet store and buy a parrot. And so she decided to buy this parrot. In a store, he was the nicest little parrot you ever seen, but when she brought him home, he became the meanest, the most abusive, verbally abusive parrot and bird you've ever seen. He started cussing at her with every word possible in a dictionary, cussing dictionary, urban dictionary, I don't know. And so he was just mean. And after taking this abuse for like 2, 3, 4, 5 days, she decided to do something about it. She took the parrot out of anger and threw him in the freezer. The bird started cussing even more. And then after about 30 seconds, silence. Sarah let him get a little settled in there. Opens the door, and this parrot is looking at her with these beautiful parrot eyes, puppy eyes, sheepish eyes. And he says, Sarah, I apologize. I will never say another bad word to you again. Sarah was like, wow, what a turnaround. This is awesome. So she's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll bring you out. He says, Sarah, can I ask you a question? She says, sure. He says, what did the chickens do? Okay. My topic today in our new series is called My Way or the Highway. And the highway is going to be two words, not one word. So when I say highway, I don't mean like the highway you drive on. I mean God's way, higher way. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My plans are higher than your plans. My words are higher than your words. My understanding is higher than your understanding. So it's a play on word thing, but my way or the highway, or we can say my way or God's way. Amen? So that's what we are all about. We're in a series called Mark 9, where we will go through verse by verse in the book of Mark in the next 4 to 5 weeks. In our last series, we focused on self, ourself. Amen? In the last series, we focused on how to be happy. This series is going to be totally different, guys. Get ready for this one. It's going to be all about Jesus. So if the last series was kind of fluffy and happy, and it's all about how can I be happy, and tricks, scientific knowledge, and things you can do to be happy, and God wants us to be happy, well, this week is going to be, I want to know Jesus. This series is going to be, how do I know Jesus? The goal is to be like Jesus, to know Jesus, and to be a balanced Christian. The goal is to know Him and to be a balanced Christian. When you were a child, you didn't like to eat balance, did you? I didn't like to eat balance. I have a 3-year-old daughter. And if you have kids, you know that if you could give them an option of what to eat, they would usually choose fluff, pancake with lots of syrup, cereal, and something sweet and candy. But we know that it's not good for a child to be fed with sugar. Now, sugar is okay once in a while, but it's not good to grow up on sugar. And I remember us trying to give Hadessa, our daughter, 3-year-old right now, to eat something else, like eggs or bacon or potatoes. She's like, no. If it was up to her, she would eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, sugar. We as parents, we know better, so we say no sugar. Well, one day we said, we just cannot. She's just controlling us. When it comes to eating, she's controlling us. So what we decided to do, we said, okay, next time let's put some eggs and bacon in the morning and put pancakes and say, you got to eat this first. Oh, she threw a fit. But we were like, we're stronger than you. We are your parents and we're going to make you like it. And so she realized that she can't win. You know, she's got a strong-willed daddy if he chooses to be. And mama too. And so mama and daddy, we came together on this one. Okay, you know when mama and papa come together on something, oh, no kid can come in between. And so we said, eat this. So she would just I don't like it. I'm going to eat it. And then she would eat it, but she would get fooled with eggs and bacon. And then she would be like, I'll show you that I'm going to eat these pancakes. And she would eat. There was not enough room anymore. And what she would do, she would fill her cheeks. And her face would be with pancakes. It wouldn't go down anymore. So she would keep it inside her cheeks. If you know Hadassa, right? It's like I don't want to eat anymore, but I will because you made me eat this stuff. And now after a while, and we know for child growth, you need to feed him balanced diet. As a Christian, you need a balanced diet too. You cannot, our church cannot be fed on fluff all the time. And last series was kind of fluffy. And it was great. We found out how to be happy. But in this series, it's all going to be about Jesus. So it's going to be a little more meat. And it's going to be a little bit more growth. And sometimes I discovered that in our churches, and we are one of those churches, we just love to preach what people want to hear. But that's not the whole gospel. And people don't really know who Jesus is. Some of you have been going to church a long time, but you don't know who Jesus is. And we're hoping that in the book of Mark, chapter 9, actually today we're not going to study chapter 9, we're going to study chapter 8. So we can get to chapter 9 next week. And so we want to grow in Jesus. So I probably won't hear a lot of amens, but if you could support me a little bit and say amen, I think it'll go quicker. Okay? And you will have more fun. Amen. Or yes, say yes if you don't. Yeah. So we want a balanced gospel. Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This is the guy who've seen all the miracles, who've done all the miracles, who casted out demons, who had a revelation of God, like of Jesus, like no one ever. He saw him on the road to Damascus and it blinded him. He said, I've been rich and I've been poor, he says. And at the end of his life, this is what he writes. Philippians is written out of prison, possibly his last book, out of prison. He says this, I want to know Christ. Remember, in the last series, we said a lot of people want to know Christ for what he can give them. And in the last series, we said what he can give you will not make you happy. The only thing that can make us happy is him, self. So Paul said, I've had it all. I've had it all, guys. And this is what I'm stuck at. This is the ultimate thing to be a Christian, the pinnacle of being a Christian. I want to know Christ. Paul, you know him. You're writing about him. You've been preaching about him. He says, not enough. The excitement that I get from knowing Christ on a daily basis. I know him today. Tomorrow I want to know him more and more. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Boy, you crazy. Who wants that? Who wants that? Well, there was another guy who was a prince of Egypt. You know who he was? Moses, amen. Notice he grew up with all the pleasures of this life. All the women he wanted, he had. All the riches he wanted, he had. All the fame and glory he wanted, he had. He was a general, he was a leader, natural born leader. And then at 40 years old, he says something crazy. He says that all that stuff doesn't satisfy it, and he leaves it. And says, I would rather suffer with the people of God than to enjoy temporary pleasures of Egypt. How do you do that? I'm not there yet. Are you? I'm not there yet. We want more. We still believe that those more will make us happy. But Paul says, no, no, no. Moses says, no, no. David says, better is one day in your house than a thousand elsewhere. And it's like to us, to American modern Christian, it's like, doesn't make sense. It's all about me. What can you do for me, church? What can God do for me? Amen? Yes? They realized something. Apostle Paul realized something. There was something greater. And the greatest is to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Amen. Now, the series is Mark 9. If I started in chapter 9, it will be confusing. So I'm starting in chapter 8, verse 31. So we'll go there. And let me give you a context. Jesus started his ministry when he was 30 years old. You know that, right? About 30 years old. And after about 3 years, the momentum of Jesus' ministry has exploded. Teaching, healing, miracle working was at all-time high. He's performing thousands of miracles. He's teaching, wowing the crowds. His wisdom and knowledge is shocking the religious and the elite alike. Crowds of 5,000 to 10,000 are following him continuously. Momentum of his ministry at this time, in chapter 8 and 9, is at the all-time high. He's successful. Very successful. He heals the blind, mute, cripple. He raises the dead. He casts out demons. He walks on water. He feeds 10,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He calms the storm. He calms the sea. He raises the dead, Lazarus. He turns water into wine. He is performing all these miracles in this time of his ministry. His earthly ministry is so popular that people are coming to make him a king. They want to coronate him as a king. Imagine this. You are getting so famous, they want to make you president of the United States. They're like, we don't need voting. We'll just put you in because we're all for you, right? What would you do? Maybe some of us would be like, yeah, that would be such an honor. Not Jesus. You know what Jesus does? He gets away from them. He walks away from them. He escapes them, Bible says. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. But his ministry is at such a peak. It's like in football. Who is right now at the peak of their game? Bears, I don't know. Let's say LeBron James in basketball. No? Well, okay, you're that Curry guy. Fine. Fine. Okay, maybe. If he stays healthy. But, Or Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady is 7-0 at the top. At the top of their game, right? Everything is going good. Imagine just saying, no, I quit because I got to do something else. Well, Jesus was at the top of his game, and people are saying, we're going to make you king, Jesus. And he says, no, that's not the plan. That's not God's way. So his disciples are seeing this. They're in this. How are they handling all this success, power, fame, popularity? The truth is, it takes a toll on them. It takes the toll. Their heads are spinning, right? So he takes his disciples, Bible says, about 50 feet from the crowd. Imagine a crowd of 5,000 to 10,000 people. Jesus says to his disciples, so it'd be like this side of the thing, and he would say, hey, guys, come on. I'm going to tell you something. And Jesus had 12 disciples, but Bible says he also had 72. And he also had lots of women who were following him as well, who were serving and, you know, walking with Jesus. So Jesus' group was about maybe 100 or so, maybe 120. That's his team. So he takes his disciples away from the crowd and says, guys, I got to talk to you. And this is what he says. And what he says to them, before I read this, makes no sense to them. It's nonsense. So let's read this. Then Jesus began to tell them that Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, by leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. So at the height of his success, at the height of his ministry, he says, guys, come here. I got to tell you something. Why does he do that? Why do you need a, what do you call that, check, fact check, or what do you call that moment when you check yourself? Reality check. He does a reality check on them. That's what he does. Come here. Why? Because their heads are spinning. And you can see this in Peter. Next verse. As he talked about this openly with disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Okay? So Jesus takes Peter and his disciples aside, like 50 feet from the crowd, and tells him, guys, I'm going to be crucified. I will be killed, and I will rise from the dead again. Peter says, come here, Jesus. Come here. And he does this. Come here, Jesus. Come here. I got to tell you something. What do you think you're doing? Are you crazy? Why all this negativity, Jesus? Stop this now. Okay, thank you. Right, that's what he does. That's what Peter does. A man, a fisherman, grabs God by his arm and says, come here. I got to... And Bible says he corrects him and rebukes him, rebukes Jesus. Fishermen, God. Fishermen, God. Let's keep reading. Then Jesus, Peter was trying to hush things up, you know. Come here. I got to tell you something, Jesus. Stop this. Jesus turns around to the rest of the 12, or maybe 100, whatever that amount was, turned around and looked at his disciples. Then Bible says reprimanded Peter. Another translation says rebuked Peter. And he says this, get away from me, Satan. Huh. This is his number one guy. This is his number one lieutenant, his leader, who's going to take over the church when he's gone. And he calls him a Satan. How would you like to be called a Satan by Jesus? And you're his best friend. Truth hurts, yeah. See, some of us, we think of Jesus and we would never see Jesus do that. But you don't know the real Jesus. That's the problem. In our churches, we only know fluff Jesus. Happy Jesus that holds the sheep and he's feminine. And blah, 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 you know. But this is the kind of Jesus. And now it's causing a scene. 50 feet away, crowds are listening. 10 feet away is the disciples. Right? And they're listening. Everybody wants to hear. Right? What is Peter saying to Jesus? Everybody's nosy, you know. We're created that way. How else would we spread the news when there was no newspapers? People tell each other, right? That's how news spreads. All right. And so Jesus stopped Peter. Let go of me. And he looks at his disciples and says, and look at his disciple. He reprimanded Peter. Get away from me, Satan. He said, you're seeing merely from a human point of view, not God's. How would you like that? How do you like for Jesus to tell you that? Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you want to follow me, to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways. What is he calling Peter? Selfish. He says, you're selfish. It's all about you. Turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. What is it? What does it mean, take up your cross? You want to know what cross means? It means take up your God's purpose for your life and follow me. For Jesus, it was the cross. For you, it might not be the cross, okay? Many of us have different crosses to bear. They're not all the same. Sometimes I wonder, God, why is somebody have to live with diabetes all their life, poking themselves and poking and poking? It's like their cross. Paul had to live with a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times, and God didn't remove it. Maybe you have to live with something. What is your cross, right? Everybody has a cross to bear. What does that mean? It means God's purpose for your life. You didn't ask for it. You didn't pray for it. But God chose you to carry that cross. Amen. Then calling the crowd. So now he's not just talking to the disciples. He's talking to the crowd. He calls the crowd. Come here, guys. Come here. Come here. Come closer. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples. He said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Next verse. If you try to hang on to your life, if you try to do it your way, if I try to do it my way, I will lose my life. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news. So two things. If you give up your life for, one, Jesus. And if you give up your life for good news, what does it mean? If you choose to bring good news to people, that's it. Jesus and good news, you will save it. Amen. To this point, that's it. This is an interesting part of scripture filled with so many points that if I try to like draw out every point out of this scripture, we would be here till 5 p.m. But you wouldn't like that. So I chose only 6, okay? 6 points. And so I want to get right into it. Jesus said this, don't allow your way to divert you from the highway or God's way. That's point number one. Don't allow your way to divert you from the highway, God's way. Jesus does not allow his own success to drive him from the plans of God. He knows the plans of God. He doesn't allow people to crown him because they want to. He says, I only follow God's plan for my life. And the lesson is this. As a church, God is blessing us. We're growing. Amen. As maybe in your life, God is blessing you. And the temptation is, when God is blessing you, is to not continue to follow Christ. So let me show you, Van. Van, you're Christ. You just go in circles. Can you? I want to show you. So I follow Christ. We follow Christ. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. He's blessing me. He's blessing me. He's blessing me. Keep going. Keep going. Look what happened. Look what happened. He keeps going, but now I decided I don't need him anymore. You see that? Go ahead. Go ahead and take. Thank you. So the temptation is, when God begins to bless your life, is to stop, to keep walking your way. God, I got it from here. Yeah, bless me, bless me, bless me. Oh, thank you. I got it from here. I don't need you anymore. You see what people do? That's what we do. We say, God, I got this from here. God, give me a baby. Give me a baby, 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 baby. Okay, here goes. Oh, I don't have time. I'm so tired. I can't go to church anymore. I don't have time for God. You know, God, give me a business. Give me a business. Give me a business, please, please. Bless me, bless me. Okay, God blesses you. I've heard that before. I don't need to be in church. I'll go on Christmas and Easter. You don't have to be a Christian and go to church. I don't have time for God. I bought a cabin on the lake. I can't follow God anymore. You know, and so that's the temptation, is after God gives you what you want, will you still follow him? The temptation was, Peter was like, Jesus, I can follow you when you bless me. But when you start talking nonsense and cross and crucifixion and dying, I can't follow you there. What kind of Christian are you? Are you the type of Christian who says, I will follow you when you do what I want, and I will not follow you when... What kind of Christian are you? God is trying to grow strong Christians who can handle persecution, who can handle anything that comes your way. And that's why fluff will not do it. You need the word of God. And Peter was so intoxicated by the fluff. He was so intoxicated by the success. You know that success can feel intoxicating? Did you know that? Talk to somebody successful and they'll tell you, if you're not careful, your heart starts lifting above your head. You made so much money, now you feel like you're out of control now. Your body feels like out of control. Something here goes over here. And you got to learn to keep it down. Some of you called to do big things for God, but when you stand in front of thousands of people, will you be able to keep your heart where it belongs? Or is your heart going to balloon and blow and burst? See, God is preparing your heart. Amen. When you don't make a lot of money yet, you know, it's one thing. But when you start making thousands and your heart starts bubbling up, what do you do then? That's what's happening to Peter at this moment and the rest of the disciples. And that's why he has to take him aside. And he says, Christianity is not always just success and fame. And people saying, Peter, can I hold your hand? Can I talk to you a second, Peter? Brother Peter, I was wondering if I could talk to Jesus. Get in line, woman. There's 300 before you. Who do you think you are? You know, that's what Peter's job was, right? To bring people to Jesus. Success can be intoxicating for any person or business. Beware the temptation of complacency. Beware of success. It can make you drunk, and you are out of control. Some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about, but this is the truth. If you follow God, you will experience both. You will experience great highs, and you will experience lows. How do you handle them? Some of you are like, I barely tried to get a job right now. Just wait. God is going to bless you, and you're going to have more than a job. People will be coming to you and saying, can you work for me? And then what you're going to do? Will you give God the glory, or will you say, nah, I don't need you. You got me here. I can handle it from here. As a Christian, we never let go of God. We keep on following. We keep on following. And sometimes you see him leading you to the cross. And you're like, okay, Jesus, you go ahead. You go ahead. I'm still following you kind of from the distance. And he says, no, don't ever let go. Don't let go. Hold on. Hold on to my shoulder. Hold on. Amen. Now, Jesus knows that suffering is part of God's plan. In the mind of Peter, Christianity is all about healing, casting out demons, power of the storm. Christianity is magic. And Jesus' Christianity is suffering too. Oh, no. I can't do suffering. I'm not built for that. What? See, Christianity is about And he says that in verse 35, deny yourself. That's all it is. Pick up your cross, pick up your purpose, the purpose that God gave you, and follow me. That's what it's about. See, Christianity is not about, oh, deny yourself a candy, or deny yourself TV or Facebook. It might include that, but it's more. It's my life. I deny the right to do it my way, and I say, I'm going to do my life the highway. The highway. In Peter's mind, it was about success and adoration of people. It was crowds and fans. But the life of a Christian also includes suffering as well. Are you ready for that? See, if you're not ready, when that comes, suffering comes, you'll be like, where is God? I'm going to leave God. But God has such a beautiful picture. He's long-term. He says these temporary trials produce in you the glory, the greater glory that will be revealed. See, he says it's not just in success that the glory of God is seen. It's also in the valleys that the glory of God is seen. It's not only in success that you get to know God. It's in the valleys that you get to know God so intimately. And he loves us too much to just give us candy, people. Although he's a good God, and man, he gave me candy many times. But also spankings. Amen. So Christian life does not exclude suffering. I want our church to be mature church to know this. It's both. And he says, when suffering comes, rejoice, because God is testing your faith. Nobody likes a test, but everybody likes to know how they did on the test, don't you? You don't like the test, but when you get that A, oh, all right. Point number three, Jesus knew that Satan will always try to stop God's plan. And he can use people closest to you to stop God's plan for your life. Watch this. Jesus does not allow his closest confidant to divert the purpose of God in his life. When you start following Christ, there's always going to be people, even the closest and the ones who love you the most, who Satan can use to get you to split from following Jesus. It could be the closest person in your life that you love. For Jesus, it was his number one leader. Peter comes to him, and he's used by Satan to try to stop the plan of God for Jesus' life. And that's why Jesus was so severe with Peter when he said to him, stand behind me, Satan. I'm shocked because five verses before the scripture that I read, Jesus got his disciples together and said, who do men say that I am? Remember that? And some said he's a prophet. Some said he's Elijah. Some said he's this. And then he says, who do you say that I am? He wanted to see you. What did they think of him? After 3 years being with him, what did they think of him? Judas obviously thought he was, a chichinkau, you know, to get more money. That's what Judas thought of him. But Peter, five verses before this, says something, got inspired by the Holy Spirit. How can you be used one time, one moment by the Holy Spirit, and the next moment by Satan? Because Peter says in the first moment, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the anointed one. You are the chosen one, he says to him. And here, he grabs Jesus by the arm, says, who do you think? What do you think you're doing? And starts rebuking God. And is being used by Satan to divert the plan of God. Peter grabbed Jesus by the arm, takes him aside, and begins to criticize and correct his theology. For Peter, his theology was Christianity is all about good stuff. You see? Selfish. It's all about us. Yeah, we serve those people. We heal them, but really it's about our fame. Amen? So he takes Jesus aside and says, Jesus, this is bad PR. You're talking negatively. If you keep talking like this, we will lose crowds. Your approval rating will plummet. If you keep talking this negative talk, people will leave. So what is the lesson? As God gives you growth, don't follow growth, follow God. When God gives you blessing, don't just follow the blessing, follow God. When God gives you a husband or a wife, don't just follow your husband and wife, follow God. No matter what God can do for you, follow him and not what he can give you. And sometimes God will lead you into a valley of shadow and death. But he says, you shall fear no evil because I will be with you. I'll show myself to you in a valley like you have never seen me before. Amen. So for us as a church, as we're growing and more people come to our church, the temptation is not to say certain things. The temptation is this. If you say something about this or this, you lose people. Every time I say something about homosexuality, oh my goodness, we lose people. I know that. I stop seeing somebody, and that's it. I know it's gone. But do I want to preach people fluff, and yet they don't know God or Jesus? Or do I want them to know the truth? I want them to know the truth. Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. If you are from God, you will not leave. But if you're not from God, if you're for the fluff, you won't be able to handle this. And you start giving me threats. And I start hearing threats from people. Oh, we're going to do this. And we're going to disrupt this service. Blah, 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 blah. I don't care. We got security. And they're big. But more, we got angels who are watching over this place. Amen. 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 When I started this church, I made a decision. And the decision was we will follow Christ, whatever he leads us. Whatever he leads us. As God begins to bless you, there will be temptation. Some of you are business owner. And in business, sometimes you get people who use you, okay? And I heard of a guy who got used really bad. He was really investing and helping and then got used. And you know, the temptation was people were like, you need to sue him. You need to sue that person, right? You know what sue means, right? To take him to court. But see, as a Christian, we always seek not my way, but highway, God's way. And so the temptation is take him to court, get him for all he has, blah, 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 do this and that. But then there's a highway, meaning God's way. And you go to God and you say, God, what do you want me to do? And God says, let him go. I'll deal with him. I'll deal with her. I'll deal with that customer. I'll deal with that person. I'll deal with that partner. I'll deal with that. And so you say, I'm going to follow God's way. And it's not pretty, guys. It's not easy. Because people who are closest to you, what are you going to do? You should sue them. You should get everything they have. You should da-da-da-da-da. But who's... See, when you're a Christian, the Bible says deny yourself. Pick up God's way, your cross, and follow him. Pick up his cross for you, his purpose for you, his plan for you, and follow him. And he says, I will deal with that person. It's not always easy. It's not always easy when you get cheated on. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in your relationship, you got cheated on. It's not always easy to say, God bless them. You want to have God punish them. You want to curse them. You want to say this and that to your ex. Oh, Jesus, right? But whose way are you going to take? You're going to take your selfish way and do it your way that leads. But Jesus said, he who wants to gain his life, he who tries to do it his way will lose it. Her way will lose it. But he who tries to do it my way will gain it. I have a personal story. About 19, I had a girlfriend. Okay, and I gave my life to Jesus, and we sat down and we talked, and I said, hey, we can't be doing all the extracurricular activity that we've been doing anymore. Can't be doing it. I'm a Christian now. And I wanted to follow Christ. That was my decision. I made a decision to follow Christ. Well, she wanted a lover, you know, she wanted somebody to be there, you know, and so we kind of said in a nice way, we didn't like got into an argument, but we said, okay, well, I think we're gonna go our separate ways. Well, she wouldn't give up. And I remember, 19, my car broke down. I had this cool car, and it broke down. And me and my mom, we always clash. I don't know if you have a mom or dad like that where you clash with your mom. And we just clash. And one day, we got in such a big argument with my mom. And I'm trying to get in my car, slam the door, and leave. But my car wouldn't drive. and here you have it. This girl calls me and says, hey, let's hang out. And I'm like, I shouldn't because she's bad news. She's bad news. I mean, she's a good person, but she just didn't want highway. He wanted her way. She wanted a lover. She didn't, not a bad person. Don't get me wrong. Jesus loves her too. And she calls me at just the moment of weakness. I got in a fight with my mom, and she comes and picks me up, and she just throws herself, you know. She's just one of those, throws yourself at you. And here's a choice. I made a decision to do it the highway, or I could have made a decision to do it, and I don't know. I'm a young guy at that time, 19. Very, very, you know, what do you call it? The testosterone is very passionate, going through the roof. I mean, I'm not some kind of a saint. I'm just like you guys, okay? I know what it's like. I've been there before. And here she's available. She's, you know, and I'm like, and I don't know how I said no. She got so mad. Slammed the door, left, you know. And then one more time she tried, and that didn't work either. And today I'm so glad. 20 years ago, almost 18 years ago, I made a decision to follow Christ. My flesh said, man, it's going to be fun. You're young. Enjoy yourself. Yeah, that's it. Doing it God's way is not always easy. I can understand Peter. Can't you? Following Christ, no matter where he leads you, is not always easy. But it's always the best thing. And today, if you have not made a decision to do it his way, not your way, do it highway, not your way, Jesus said this, your way will lead to destruction. His way will lead to life. And some of you want some of Jesus and some things that he said, but you want to reject the rest of it. It doesn't work. You take the whole Jesus or nothing at all. You're going to be 100% follower of Christ, and that doesn't mean you won't fail. Listen, I've made many mistakes. But the decision that you make, and today I want you to make a decision that I'm going to do my life the highway, God's way. You see what I mean? Peter couldn't get it. Peter couldn't get it. He loved the fame and glory and power, and he said no to cross and death. But what if Jesus listened to Peter? He would have became a king of Judah, and then he would die, and all his influence would be in Jerusalem. But because Jesus decided to follow the highway, you and I are here today. Over 2 billion people in the world living today are following Christ. Over 2 billion people's sins have been washed clean. 2 billion people will spend eternity with God, and many more who lived before us will spend eternity with God because Jesus didn't follow Peter's way or people's way or anything else. He followed the highway. Amen. Amen. What if Paul, you know, Paul had a choice to follow the highway or not. Paul was ministering, and one day a prophet came to Paul and said, if you go to Jerusalem, Paul, they're going to arrest you and you're eventually going to die. And Paul says, oh yeah? And so this prophet, a good guy. See, Satan sometimes will use people closest to you from following Christ. He sometimes uses the loved one to say, don't go to church today. We'll just skip this time. And then the second time and the third time. But what would happen if Paul listened to the prophet and said, I'm not going to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. We would miss out on 2/3 of New Testament. Did you know that? We would miss out on Philippians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans. We would miss out on Titus, Timothy's. We would miss out on Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. We would mess out on that because Paul goes and gets arrested, follows the highway. Following the highway is not the most pleasant way, but look what it produces. His words are still in the book of Philippians, Paul wrote in prison. We would miss out. What would Moses miss out if he would have stayed in Egypt? What do you miss out because you follow your own way? And I'm telling you, you are missing out when you follow your way. Jesus didn't lie. He said, if you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, you will gain life. If you follow your purpose, it will lead to death eventually. Not something our culture preaches. Quiet in this church today. But that's good. That means it's no fluff. Amen. Jesus rebukes his number one disciple. He did it in the most unusual way, in a harsh way. And I think if you are tempted to walk away from Christ, if you are tempted to follow your own way, you need to rebuke those things that are tempting you. Whatever it is, what is stopping you from following Christ? Is it a drink? Is it an alcoholic beverage stopping you from following Christ? Is it a boyfriend or girlfriend that's stopping you from following highway? What is it? Is it your business? Is it your job? What is it that's stopping you from following Christ completely? It looks like you will lose now. But when you look through the spectrum of eternity, Jesus said you gain. Because he says, what if you gain the whole world, this little tiny thing, but lose your soul? Hallelujah. Where did Peter go wrong? What did he do wrong? What did Peter do wrong? Two things, and I'm almost done. Pride got into the heart of Peter. He thought he knew better than God, and he thought he can tell God what to do. And we have a lot of people today in our culture trying to tell God what to do. If something that God says doesn't fit our little mind, guess what we do? We say, oh, they were just primitive people. People in those days didn't know what we know. We're much wiser and smarter, you know. So they didn't know, you know. So God doesn't really know, you know. We got psychology now. We got professors in college. And we got doctors, right? That's what we do. Whenever you're faced with a decision to follow what Jesus said and to follow what everybody else said, choose Jesus. Choose God's way. Best way. Amen. So Peter allowed pride to get into his heart. He thought he knew better than God. And that's pride. To think you know better than God. Number two, fame and glory. He got intoxicated with it. And he almost lost the path of righteousness that God had for him. So today, as I finish, Jesus is calling us to deny our purpose, our dreams, our desires, and follow his. Choose Jesus and the gospel. Choose to spread the good news all over the world. Choose to tell your neighbors about Christ. Choose to bring people far from God closer to Jesus. He said, if you deny yourself and follow me and the gospel, you will gain your life in return. That's his promise to us today. I know it's not easy, but it leads to life. Talk to so many people. Today, after the service, one young man came. He was in an accident and almost got killed. He says, I was following my way. He said, you couldn't pick the perfect message for me to come back to church to. And he had this big thing on his head. His neck was broken. And things. He said, I almost lost my life because I was following my way. He says, I'm choosing God because he chose me. He gave me life to live. Choose God. Choose God. Are you guys enjoying this? Verse 35, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, meaning for Jesus, and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. You will save it. Amen. Amen. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? I want to ask you if you have given your life to him. Is he the leader of your life? Does he have the wheel, or are you still trying to control your own life? Rick Warren says this. He says, this life is not about you. You were put here on earth not for God to serve you, but for you to serve God and others. So it's about God ultimately. He has a purpose for your life, but you have to choose him. God could have left us in our sin to die and be eternally separated from him. But he said that he loved us so much that he sent his son. So we can be reconciled to him. So we can have peace with him. On a count of three, I'm going to count to three. And if you would like to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand on a count of three and raise it high so I can count you. Maybe you walked away and backslid. And today you want to say, God, I've done it my way. But from this moment on, I make a decision to do it your way. On a count of three, would you raise your hand and raise it high so I can count you? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front. But right where you are, it's a private moment between you and God. God loves you. He has a plan for you. So on a count of three, would you please raise your hand and raise it high? One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. The best decision that you can ever make is to give up your life and follow His plans for your life, to pick up your cross and follow His. Whatever, you got to say, God, whatever you tell me, I'll do. No matter how hard it is, whatever you tell me, I will do, and I will follow you. So I want to pray with you. Repeat it to me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me. From this moment on, I accept you in my heart as my Lord and my Savior and my God. Use my life for your glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.